I'd like to thank my friend Ben Calcaterra, Calcaterra, the pharmacist. Are you the vice president of the Illinois Pharmacists Association?
This year I'm president.
You're president this year. Okay. I want to make sure I had that right, because you were on the board of directors and you're vice president.
Right.
Worked your way all the way to the top, didn't you?
Absolutely. Here I am.
Hey, and I'm glad you're here, too, because couldn't pick a better president for the Pharmacists Association. Ben's always been a great guidance for me over the last almost 15 years. We've stayed in touch since I started working here about some of these important items. Now, a legislator in Springfield has come up with an idea. I have a tendency to want to simplify things for our listeners. I get the idea it's not as simple as I want it to be, that they want to limit the number of prescriptions that a pharmacist is capable or should be writing an hour, correct?
That is one of many aspects of the bill, yes.
See, that was the one that I had. I guess I cherry-picked out of it because when I heard you only get to fill 10 prescriptions an hour, that was the proposal?
Yes, absolutely. So originally, the bill was centered around 10 prescriptions per hour per store. And we believe that's going to be amended to 10 prescriptions per pharmacist per hour. So if you think about this, there were millions and millions and millions of prescriptions filled in the state of Illinois last year. If we attribute this kind of logic to last year's prescription filling trend across the state of Illinois, we would not have been able to fill every prescription that was filled last year. So people are going to come to the pharmacy and go unserved, not being able to pick up their prescriptions at the local pharmacy.
Well, I mean, this is an easy piece of math for me. We're open 8 hours a day. We'll just do 8 hours a day, and we only get to fill out 80 prescriptions a day. I've been to the pharmacy. 80 an hour.
Yes.
I'm in constant awe, to be honest with you, at the watching, in particular, your location, one in Carterville. I can watch down the line at the drive-thru, and I'm seeing five people working there. They're fast.
Very.
The math doesn't seem to me, from the outside looking in, be capable of sustaining the business.
Correct. And a lot of legislators we've talked to have implied that they realize the 10 script per hour limit is not really feasible to go to, and it's probably going to be changed. But any kind of prescription limit is something we are firmly against, because every pharmacy is going to be different. This is going to be applied to mail order pharmacies, chain pharmacies, independent pharmacies, hospital pharmacies. I mean, can you imagine any kind of limit being applied to a hospital pharmacy in a crisis event, and they're going to have to tell patients coming to the ER, hey, sorry, we can't fill any more scripts this hour.
And here's the thing, when Ben defines crisis, we're not talking about Armageddon, we're talking about the flu.
Yes.
Right?
Just a simple crisis.
Yeah, a simple
a bad car wreck on I-57 that comes in. I mean, any small area crisis is going to be affected.
All right. Are there other elements to this law?
Absolutely.
So that was the part that I was a little vague on.
Yeah. So another part is going to be the requirement that a pharmacy technician be with a pharmacist anytime the practice of pharmacy is conducted. Now, practice of pharmacy is loosely defined, but this could be a late night phone call I receive at my house from a patient saying, hey, I've got this new prescription today. I'm really having a problem. Can you help me explain
this? My daughter's inhaler's run out. I'm sorry. I really messed up. We have to have it.
Yes. I've come in on Sundays, holidays, late nights. All the time, but this would require me to call in a technician who doesn't need to be there, but this law would require them to be with me just so I can do my job.
Are there other elements here, Ben?
Yes. There's also a break requirement. So every pharmacist that works greater than 7 hours would be required to have a 30-minute unobstructed break and 2 15-minute rest breaks. So what this means is, they're going to get a 30-minute lunch. But in a small pharmacy where there's only one pharmacist available, and you're going to bring your child in with an ear infection, screaming on the floor, waiting for that prescription, they're going to have to wait 30 minutes for that pharmacist to get done. I'm going to be in the back cringing because I can't stand to let my patients go unserved. But this law is going to protect the time of, that there's pharmacists that truly need some help out there, and some chain pharmacies and larger stores should be reevaluating their business practice. But to apply this to every pharmacy across the state, a small pharmacy like me, we just can't stand to do this.
The proposed legislation is expected to, or they hope, accomplish what?
So the background is a Chicago Tribune article in December of 2016. They had a sting operation going into Chicagoland pharmacies to find out if they are so busy that they're not going to counsel their patients. And, of course, they found some very busy pharmacies, and many of them were lacking in making that touch with the patient when they felt they should be. And
so giving them the side effects, the possible ramifications of taking this medicine, are you having drug interactions, this counseling that pharmacists are expected to do, is that really the issue, or is it opioids?
No, it does not address the opioid issue. This is about drug interactions, counseling the patients.
I thought that this was the subtext of this, Ben.
No. So the subtext here is interesting. This is coming from unions in Chicago protecting pharmacists. And the strange thing that I can't grasp down here and downstate until I became associated with the Pharmacy Association at the state level, in the city of Chicago, chain pharmacists join a union that is Teamsters and labor workers. It's not a pharmacy-specific union. So this is a small percentage of the overall union's membership, and they are tackling this as a workforce issue, a work environment issue for pharmacists not having enough time, bathroom breaks, being pushed to do things non-pharmacy related, which probably is happening in small places and needs to be addressed. And they pushed the Chicago Tribune to go in and look at our pharmacist counseling on drug interactions. And that is a safety issue that we as a profession need to address. It's inexcusable that we have missed some of these counseling opportunities. However, this bill does not address that issue. This bill is a union issue to make sure that pharmacists are getting rest breaks and not being overworked, not addressing a safety issue. If this bill goes into place, two things are going to happen that I'm concerned with. One, it's going to reduce the amount of scripts going out, which is going to increase a safety problem in my aspect. And secondly, if a pharmacist who was filling, let's say, 50 scripts an hour is now only filling 10 scripts an hour, guess what? That manager, that owner, is going to have to replace that time with five pharmacists instead of one. That wage goes down. Now, all of a sudden, this union that's pushing this bill has now reduced the value of their degree, the value of their wage. And now a pharmacist that was making, let's just say, $100,000 a year is making $30,000 a year. It blows my mind that they think this is going to be good for their members. Now, the safety aspect, we need to work on that, and we are. We have a task force at the state level. The governor's put together a task force that we are looking at how to address the safety concerns of this issue, and that's something that we really need to do.
The safety concerns, because here's the fact. We know we've got an opioid problem. Matter of fact, I believe on Friday another $16 million in federal funds was announced by the two Democratic senators for fighting opioid abuse in the country. And I just assumed that when we were limiting pharmacists to 10, that they would be able to look you in the eye and go, "Oh, you got a drug problem, buddy," or some equivalent, you know. But what we're talking about here is a workload issue, not a addressing the health of the state issue.
Right. And, you know, interestingly enough, if you're talking about health of the state, a lot of studies have been conducted proving that a one-on-one, face-to-face interaction with a pharmacist locally will increase a patient's health outcomes, decrease overall healthcare dollars spent. So when you're going to limit these scripts and force people to go, you know, mail order or seek drugs elsewhere instead of coming to your local pharmacy because they've only got 10 scripts per hour, you're going to increase their healthcare dollars spent at the hospital because they're going to be admitted somewhere.
And then I've got this thing that really aggravates me. It is a state that can't conduct its own business is telling us how to conduct business and how many people you need to have on staff and how you're going to be able to do this or that when, in fact, you can't do your job, but you're telling me how to do mine. And that there, and maybe if we had a budget, I wouldn't feel this way. But I don't. And so I kind of ponder this on a philosophical, as I told you before, I'm starting to sound like my dad. It's the principle of the matter.
Right.
Well, you know what? It is the principle of the matter to a certain extent with me, but with you, what I see and what I hear is I'm not going to be able to help the people that I can help, and I can easily help them if you'll get out of my way and stop counting me.
Right. So, you know, they're twofold here. One, the profession of pharmacy is so complex to let legislators or someone who
complex
doesn't know.
Complex and regulated. This is the other aspect that people I don't think understand. How you are counted, you are measured. The Food and Drug Administration, every pill that goes in has to be accounted for. I think people may not understand that your pharmacies are regulated hard.
Absolutely. Our Pharmacy Practice Act is probably 30 times, well, I shouldn't say 30. It's greatly a larger bill and more encompassing bill than the Medical Practice Act. The Medical Practice Act, I think, is like 5 or 6 pages.
Heavy accountability on you.
Yeah,
and bookkeeping.
Absolutely.
And people may not realize that.
Right.
So quickly, people who have an interest in the outcome of this and having their voices heard and opinions, what do they do?
Well, a couple things. Call your legislators and tell them that they are worried about access to their prescriptions, and this bill is going to greatly decrease their access to prescriptions. But what we really need, the answer here is PBM legislation. I know it sounds weird, but if we get on the insurance, the PBMs are the middleman between insurance and pharmacies who pay us for drugs. 30% of my drugs right now are being paid by insurance less than it costs me to buy the drug itself. So it's unsustainable. And that is causing a trickle-down effect in not being able to implement new technology, not being able to increase my staff, and not being able to fully take care of my patients. And that's where we need to go.
Ben Calcaterra, pharmacist, 733. Thanks for coming by on a Monday
Absolutely.
Morning early, too, Ben. Appreciate it, because I know you have long days, pal.